Father in heaven, it's a privilege, again, that we have to open the Word of God. May this time be important to each of us. May the Word of God give courage and hope. May it truly be that double-edged, Lord, that gets us through this life. We ask, Jesus, that you will bless the words that I share, and may they be food for the hearers, that each may go home satisfied spiritually, longing for more of you. We ask all this and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This next few weeks, we're going to be looking at the sanctuary message, and we're going to be spending time each week looking at the sanctuary, obviously. The title for this sermon today is called Path to the Throne of God. So today will be Path to the Throne of God. Next week will be Path to the Throne of God 2. The following week will be Path to the Throne of God 3 until we're finished. I don't know. Somebody asked me, well, how long is this going to take? I don't know. I guess however long it takes. What we're going to do is look at some of the pillars of our faith and of the messages that the Adventist Church holds. I believe that in the time in which we are living, it is important that we understand these pillars. Amen? You know, God didn't give them to us just to hide them and put them on a bookshelf somewhere and let the dust collect. He gave them to us for understanding, for sharing the Word to others. With that, I have a book here called The Sanctuary, The Path to the Throne of God, by Sarah Peck, and this is going to be made available to you. They were ordered last Monday, I think Sharon said, and they should be coming in anytime soon. And so you may want to consider one of these for your library as we go along studying the sanctuary throughout the next few weeks. So that should be in anytime soon, and hopefully they'll be made available to you where you can get them in your own hand. But why are we going to look at the sanctuary? I believe that we're going to look at the sanctuary for a couple of reasons. One is, if you don't remember, I hope you do remember, not long ago we looked at the message of the Trinity, didn't we not? We looked at three persons of the Godhead. What were they? Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we took time over 5 weeks or 6 weeks or however long it took there to look at the three persons of the Godhead. I believe that the sanctuary is a message for us to better understand the three persons of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, with that, I want to take you through a few verses here. I'm going to just read them aloud, if you don't mind. I will quote them for you and read them aloud so that we can get the idea of what the purpose of the sanctuary is. And then I want to give just briefly the historical standpoint of why the sanctuary messages within our church and the importance of it. But mostly I want to share to you today the importance of why we need to understand and have an understanding of the sanctuary. Before I start with those scriptures, let me just quote to you a quote found in 5T 520 and the Great Controversy. She says this: "We are in the great day of atonement, and the sacred work of Christ for the people of God that is going on at the present time in the heavenly sanctuary should be our constant study." Did you catch that? The work of the heavenly sanctuary should be our constant study. These are the things that we should be studying right now. We should teach our children, our young little children that just walk down the aisle. We should be teaching our children what the typical day of atonement is signified. In other words, we should be teaching. This should be part of our life. This should be a part of our ministry. And then she says in the Great Controversy, page 488, the subject of the sanctuary and the investigative judgment should be clearly understood by the people of God. Now, friends, if that's not a message for us in the time in which we live, I don't know what is. We have to have an understanding of the message of God. Friends, I have been so impressed more and more and more and more lately that we need as a people to understand clearly the pillars of our faith. Amen? We need to have those things in our forefront, in our sight, and in our understanding. It's very important to me now, especially as we see the progress and the churning of Earth's history, where we are at. Jesus is coming soon more than ever. We need to understand these pertinent truths for our time. What do you say? Well, excuse me, with that said, I believe there's two main pillars of our faith today. One is, well, let's not forget, obviously, Jesus Christ is the foundation of all truth. What do you say? But the pillars of our faith, the pillars of our church and its truth is one, the Sabbath. the Sabbath truth. Now, let me ask you this question, friends. How many of you today in the nominal Christianity today are keeping Seventh-day Sabbath? Think about that for a moment. Right? We have maybe a few out there, the Seventh-day Baptists, the Worldwide Church of God, maybe some of the Jewish communities. I don't hear much of them even in our culture today. I'm sorry? Messianic Jews. Okay, yeah, the Messianic Jews. But friends, it's not part of the culture today. Now, if we step back and we open the book of Revelation, the issue in the book of Revelation is what? It's an issue of worship. Allegiance to the true God of heaven, or accepting the beast and its power and so on and so forth, right? And it all revolves around the issue of worship. Are you going to worship the true God of heaven and accept the truths of His Word? Amen? And friends, it revolves around the seventh-day Sabbath. Friends, there is a message that needs to get out to the world, right, prior to the coming of Jesus. What do you say? And friends, I believe one of those pillars is the seventh-day Sabbath. Secondly, is the sanctuary message. Now think about this for a minute. When in 1844, the message that Jesus was coming soon, right? Jesus was coming soon, October 22nd, 1844. Did Jesus come? How do you know? We're still sitting here, right? All right, He didn't come, right? Something happened. Something went wrong, right? Well, the early Advent movement people, the early Adventists, who went and sold everything, right? Their farms, their lands, and everything. And I'm really thankful that God brought about the great disappointment. I'm really thankful for that. And I'll tell you why in just a moment here. And I hope you are thankful for that great time of disappointment. But 1844, on October 22nd, was a message to the world that Jesus was coming soon. And friends, He was coming October 22nd, and when the bell tolled, man, Jesus was coming all fire and all glory, and He was going to consume what? The earth. You see, the common thought of the day was that the sanctuary was what? The earth. And then when Jesus comes to do the cleansing work of the sanctuary, right? They felt that Jesus would be coming October 22nd, 1844, to cleanse the earth of sin, right? But their message and their calculations were true, but they messed up in one area, and that was what? The sanctuary, higher medicine, Crozier, the message of the heavenly sanctuary. Christ was doing a work where? In the heavenly sanctuary. So, friends, the great disappointment was good in this. In that, the believers who held on to the truth of God's Word, when the darkness overshadowed, they said, "What did we miss?" And they studied more. I called it the early Advent shaking. The early Advent shaking with those who accepted the truth of God's Word. It was there. It was light. I'm sorry. My phone interferes with that, and any type of signal that comes blinking through will interfere with the intercom. Anyway, so I'll take that out of there. Now, where was I? Boy. Thank you. Higher measure and Crozier. Okay. The shaking of the early Advent. In other words, the light was shown into darkness. And the light of the truth of God's Word stood out, and with great power, many got on their hands and knees, and they said, "Lord, reveal to us the truth of Your Word." And the message of the sanctuary came into view. Friends, the message of the sanctuary is greatly greatly a message that we need to have an understanding of today. It is my desire in my hope that our church, not just the Elmira church, but the church as a whole, the world church, will come back to these pillars of truth. If today, if we have a messenger for the last day who encourages us to study and understand a constant, she says, a constant study of the sanctuary, more than ever, the investigative judgment of the sanctuary should be understood by the people. Friends, there's a message that needs to get out to the world. What do you say? The Sabbath and the sanctuary. When's the last time you heard on Family Life Network the sanctuary being preached? I'm not trying to be pious or, forgive me, cocky in any way. I'm just trying to say that common Christianity
nominal Christianity is missing out on something. Truths that are found in the Word of God. Now, I believe, I want you to just stand in awe for just a moment. Does God love His people, yes or no? He does, doesn't He? How do we know that God loves us? One is that He sent His Son Jesus to die on planet Earth so that we could all have eternal life. Is that the end? Is that it? Is there more? Yes. Jesus loves us so much that He was willing to sacrifice everything, all of heaven, everything for eternity, if it would be a promise that we as a people would accept Christ and enter into a covenant with God and be saved from our sins. God did whatever it took to redeem humanity. Amen? The rest of the world said, that's enough. Doesn't matter if we continue going on sinning. Doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter as long as I have Jesus. Friends, that's not the end of the message, is it? There's a heavenly work that Christ is doing. Jesus, as the Bible says, now has entered into where? The heavenly on our behalf. There is a work that's taking place that Jesus is doing on our behalf right now. Many people in our common world today say, well, God is just sitting back on an easy chair at a lazy boy or whatever, just waiting till the right time when the clock hits noon on the heavenly alarm clock, then He's going to come. That God really isn't interacting with humanity, that God isn't really doing a work. It's all been done at the cross. We're finished. But come on, Christians, get it right. Everybody accept Jesus so we can go home. That's not the truth, is it? Because in the book of Revelation, many, Matthew 7, many preach, many teach the Word of God, many, but they don't follow Jesus with a pure heart, accepting the truths of His Word. Now, with that being said, Jesus now is in the heavenly place on our behalf, doing a work. Amen? I like to know that I have a God that is busy. He is busy and actively involved right now with my salvation and with this world. You ever seen that picture of the an evangelistic series? You know, we sing that song. He's got the what? Whole world in His hands. We see this oversized Jesus with the world hovering over His hands. That Jesus is actively involved with planet Earth. And friends, it's in the sanctuary that we discover this. The sanctuary, understanding the ways of God. In Psalm 77, where we just read, Thy way, O God, is where? In the sanctuary. Then, listen, who is so great a God as our God? Now, to understand God, we need to go to the sanctuary. What do you say? This summer, I had a privilege, finally, it's been forever since my wife and the family had taken a family vacation, just the five of us. And we always go to visit somebody. We always go down to, visit family or be with family. It was the first time, and first time ever, I think, right? We've actually taken a family vacation. And we went to Martin's theme park down there in Buffalo, where all these rides are and stuff. And Michaela wanted to get on this ride. I'm going to pick on Michaela here for just a moment. She wanted to get on this ride called the Nitro. And what you did is you sit on it, and the floor drops out from underneath you, and your feet are hanging there, and then it starts spinning around like this, and then it goes up, and then it goes up, you know, and you're hoping that thing stays together and doesn't fling you off in the left field somewhere, you know. And I didn't know if Michaela was going to be able to like that. She wanted to go on it again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. And you know how you are when you're younger, you know, just go on that same ride over and over and over again. Friends, to some small degree, I hope the sanctuary message is a desire or a ride that you want to get on and not ever get off. Amen? There is a ride that Jesus wants to be a part of. And it's exciting. It's fun. And friends, if we get involved with it, our eyes open up because we begin to see how God really is and what He is like. Let me share just a few scriptures here. Exodus chapter 25. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment here. Again, these are the verses that I'm quoting to. If you want to turn to them, that's fine. But for time's sake, there's so much more I want to share. But Exodus 25, verse 8. God speaks to Moses and He says, let them make me a what? a sanctuary that I may do what? That I may dwell among them. Isn't that fascinating? The God of the universe, who is light years away from us, who lives up there in the heavenly place, and who created all these things, decided to come down and live in a shoebox on planet Earth. Now build me a sanctuary, he says, after the pattern I showed you on the mountain. Now build this sanctuary that I may dwell among you. Any of you have children? Any of you love your children? I'm sure you do, right? Any of you got a husband or a wife, right? Do you like living with them? Sometimes. I knew that was coming up. I set you guys up for that. Do you like dwelling with them? Sure you do, right? Now, I want you to imagine for a moment. It's fun. It's not always fun, but you know, it's a pleasure. It's something that God gave to us to have a family relationship to dwell, to live with. It means to be under the same roof. I dwell with my wife and my three children. Sometimes it's annoying and sometimes it's exciting. Sometimes I wish I just lived by myself because, you know, I'd have the toothpaste squeeze. Well, now she cured that. She didn't get the squeeze toothpaste. She got the pump kind. But, you know, everything would be perfect just the way. But God came to dwell amongst a group of people with faults. God said, build me a house that I may dwell among you. What kind of God does that tell us that we serve? What kind of God? He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. He says, build me a sanctuary that I may dwell. Psalm 63, verse 2, to see thy power and glory. Here the psalmist is putting together the power and the glory of God. And he says, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, your power and your glory I have seen in the sanctuary. Friends, do you want to see the glory and the power of God? Go to the sanctuary. Study the sanctuary. See the power and the glory of God. Do you want to overcome sin? Go to the sanctuary. Do you want to be free from sin? Do you want to be free from fear? Go to the sanctuary. See the power and the glory of God. Psalm 68, verse 24. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. You want to see what God's up to? You want to see how He's actively involved? He's not just sitting there idly, you know, taking care of his, you know, fingernails there or whatever. He's not. He's an active God participating in the salvific work of humanity. God is busy. And friends, we must go to the sanctuary if we want to see God and find out what He's doing. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 73. Psalms 73. Just so you know, today's an introduction into our class, our series coming up, The Sanctuary, Path to the Throne of God. I want to wet your whistle, so to speak, to spark your interest in the study of the sanctuary, because I really want our church to get back to these true pillars that we have. Psalm 73, and let's start with verse 14. Verse 14, it says, for all the day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. Any of you ever feel like that before? You wake up, man, as soon as you get your feet on the floor, you know, you stub your toe on the corner of the door, you know, and Murphy's Law just seems to follow you wherever you go, you know. You slip in the bathtub, you bang your head, whatever it is, Murphy's Law, you know, and then you got a headache all day. You don't feel good. You know, you're plagued all the day long, trials, troubles, tribulations, whatever, come your way. Sickness, disease, you ever felt like this before? Plagued all the day long. How about the scripture in Amos? You know, he says, I was running home. And as I was running home, I met a bear. And I got past the bear. Then I met a lion. And then after I got past the lion, I finally made it home. And I put my hand on my house in relief. And a poisonous snake came out and bit my hand. You ever felt like that before? Life was just all messed up. No matter what you tried to do. So many people were really going, yeah, amen. You know. And on top of that, the psalmist writes here in Psalm 73, he's concerned about those wicked people, the sinners outside in the world. You read Psalm 73, read Psalm 37 too. There, his complaint is this, Lord, how come the wicked, how come the sinners are prospering? How come they're growing? They're rich. They have everything. They got houses. They got lands. And they seem so healthy. They seem so robust. They look like the model on the TV guide. And, oh God, what's going on here? Everything looks so well. They're prosperous. They're growing. And this is his complaint. It's our complaints today. Why, God? Why? Lord, I'm faithfully... We sound like that brother, don't we? Prodigal son. I'm faithfully serving you, Lord. Never once did you have a party for me. Don't you care about me? That's what the psalmist is writing. He's sharing his complaints. And you guys got to admit it. Y'all have gone through that before, haven't you? Some of you are probably going through it today. For all the late day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against... I'm sorry. Psalm 73, yeah, verse 14. Verse 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. The psalmist sits back and he says, you know, I just don't get it. I don't understand why the wicked seem to prosper and the righteous get sawed in half, get beheaded, get tortured, and all that stuff. But notice what he goes on to say here in verse 17. Until I went where? Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their what? Friends, the psalmist went into the sanctuary. He didn't literally go in, but his vision took him into the sanctuary. And he studied the sanctuary, and he began to have hope. He began to have hope in a world that seemed to go astray. Friends, do you want hope for your chastened life? Do you want hope for your stricken life? Do you want hope for your life, friends? Look into the sanctuary. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. When we see the sanctuary, as the psalmist wrote, he saw their who? Their end. He realized that the wicked would truly get rewarded in the sanctuary. But he also saw that the righteous would be rewarded as well. Though we may suffer persecution, though we must, you know, feel plagues, though we must be tormented, whatever, we will have a crown of life. What do you say? There's our hope. The sanctuary gives us this hope. The sanctuary gives hope for the time in which we live. No wonder the inspired writer said we should have this as our constant study. When's the last time you took a peek into the sanctuary? When's the last time you spent time studying the Word of God? Let's move on. Psalm 77, verse 13, we just read it. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You want to see the greatness of God? Let's look into the sanctuary. Psalms 96, verse 6, honor and majesty. You want to see the glory of God? Do you want to see the majesty of God? Apparently, in Psalms 96, verse 6, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. You want to see the beauty of God? You want to see the glory of God? Study the sanctuary. Psalms 102, 19, for he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth. From where? The sanctuary in heaven. God looked down. That's Psalms 102, verse 19. God looked down from the sanctuary. Is God involved with you and I today? Is he? Sure he is. And friends, the sanctuary reveals just how personally involved God is with us. Psalms 150, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Friends, it's the sanctuary that reveals the power of God. Now, the heavenly versus the earthly. Exodus 25, verse 8, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. In Hebrews chapter 8, 1 through 2, let's go ahead and turn there. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 through 2. Briefly, just giving you an overview today of the sanctuary. Hebrews chapter 8, and verses 1 through 2. Now of the things which we have spoken of, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not what? Not man. Verse 5. Who serve unto the example and the shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. See, he said, that you make all these things according to the pattern which I shown you on the mount. So there's a heavenly, there's an earthly. Jesus is now where? In the heavenly sanctuary. Friends, we've read that verse in John 14 over and over. Jesus goes to prepare a place for us. Common Christianity tells us that that's all Jesus is doing. But friends, we must get it into our minds, into the hearts of the believers today, that God is personally, actively involved with the salvation of His people and His church through the work of the sanctuary. You see, God loves us so much that He reveals Himself to us in a way to help us understand what He is doing. Now follow along with that thought there. God reveals to us so that we can comprehend His work and what He is doing on our behalf. God does not want to leave us ignorant, my friends. Did you catch that? God does not want to leave us ignorant. That's why the book of Revelation is called a revelation, an opening to unveil. God does not want us to leave us in ignorance about what He is doing in the heavenly places. God does not want us to be ignorant concerning His second coming. God does not want us to be ignorant of how He deals with sin. God does not want us to be ignorant concerning obedience to God. You follow what I'm saying? God reveals to us, and He uses the sanctuary as a model of how things are taking place in the heavens as well as in the earth. Now, what's the purpose of the sanctuary? I mentioned one is, is that we see the work of God. We want to see God. Study the sanctuary. But notice this. The sanctuary has a purpose, hence the title. The sanctuary should lead us to the throne of God. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. The Bible says, let us therefore come boldly to what? To the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of what? And where's that throne? It's in the most holy place, isn't it? Now, if you remember the sanctuary, there's two compartments, the holy and the most holy, right? The first compartment had, what did it have in there? The showbread. What else? The candlesticks, right? The altar of incense, that's right. Outside of the courts, let's go back to the most holy. What was in the most holy place? The Ark of the Covenant, right? The throne where God would sit, the mercy seat. Outside in the outer courts, what did we have? We had the altar of sacrifice. We had the laver, right? All these are patterns that reveal to us the Christian life, the experience which we must go through. Not only it reveals to us our Christian experience, but what God is doing on our behalf. It says Jesus went where? To mediate. Sacrifice. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus went into the heavenly to mediate before God and for the purpose of humanity to bring them back. Jesus sat down on the right hand of God. He is now our high priest forever. But also, it's a message of sacrifice. Friends, when we come to Jesus, we must sacrifice. We must die to self. Amen? That's why in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, we have become living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God without spot or blemish. We must be sacrificed, must be crucified. Then, after our conversion, we accept Jesus and we come into a commitment with Him, being baptized into Jesus. Then we enter into the life. We accept Jesus as the bread of life. Amen? There's the showbread. Jesus said that He is the bread of life. That we need to be partakers and eat the bread in order to have life. But not only that, the bread of life symbolizes the Word of God. We've got to study the Word of God. The candlestick symbolizes the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit working in the life drawing us into a relationship with Christ. The altar of incense is symbolizes the prayers of God's people, the saints of God, and you find that in Revelation. The smoke ascends and it goes over into the most holy place. Friends, our continual ongoing ministry is to study God's Word, to partake in a friendship with Jesus, to allow the Holy Spirit to work in the life, to pray to God on a regular basis. Friends, we cannot live without those things. What do you say? The sanctuary leads us to the throne of God. And what did the Bible say here in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 16? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of what? The mercy seat. When we have trials in our Christian experience, where do we go? To Jesus. When we have trials, when we're plagued, when we're persecuted, where do we go? We go to Jesus. Friends, it's our experience, my experience, that whoever comes to the foot of Jesus will find help. Whenever we come to the foot of Jesus, we find help. You see that all over. When Jacob, pleading with the angel, I believe that to be Christ, holding on to the fetus, I will not let you go until you bless me. What happened? He said, let me go, the sun's coming, but let me change your name before I leave. Sorry, I paraphrase that. Your name's no longer Jacob, but what? Israel. When the woman who was caught in adultery was dragged by her hair to the feet of Jesus. They were about ready to stone her, and Jesus wrote on the ground an inscription, and these people hovering over the shoulder of Christ saw all their sins, and they one by one dropped their stones, and Jesus cries out, whoever who is without sin, cast the first stone. And that woman, shaking in fear, waiting for the heavy blows of the stones, peeks open and she sees no one standing. And Jesus reaches down with compassion and love and says, woman, where is your accusers? I don't see them. Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. It's all in the sanctuary, friends, that we find the love of God for sinners. Once we come to Christ, once we are led to the throne, we experience faith, we experience reconciliation, we experience justification, righteousness, sanctification, and glorification. God reconciles us to Him through what He did on the cross. He justifies us in His blood. All sin is cleansed in the blood of Christ. What do you say? God therefore makes us right according to the law, because we are in Him by the blood of Christ. He sanctifies us. He sets us apart for a holy purpose. And finally, friends, when Jesus comes, He will glorify us. Amen? We all will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I was laughing with my wife this morning. Get up and my hair sticks up everywhere, you know. It's a curse, you know. Got to put 10 gallons of hairspray on it just to keep it down, you know. And she says, won't it be nice in a moment, in a twinkling eye, we shall be changed, you know? We'll be changed. Friends, when we go into the sanctuary, we come to Jesus and we find what we're looking for. You see, it's in the sanctuary where Jesus opens to the world a book so that we can see how He is working on our behalf. In Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 16, you don't have to turn there, it's just another quote from the Bible. He says, He is a little sanctuary. You see, friends, the New Testament scriptures is this. When Jesus died on the cross, that veil was rent from top to bottom. Jesus entered the heavenly courts. No longer was there a need for an earthly sanctuary anymore, because Jesus paid the price. Jesus was the shadow of all things to come. He fulfilled everything. But turn with me, if you will, or let me, I can't remember where the verse is. Help me out here. 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3 and 6. I don't remember if it's first or second. But don't you know that your body is what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. A little sanctuary? God wants to do what? He wants to dwell in our hearts. Friends, if we are going to begin to understand and see God, if the church is ever going to come back to life again, let us lay hold of those foundational pillars that gave our pioneers so much hope and so much light. Let's begin sharing those truths again. Do we want to see God work in a magnificent way? Let us study the Word of God like we never have before. Do we want to see how God can transform a life from sin to righteousness? Let's study the Word of God like we never have before. Do we want to see where Jesus is at in earth's history? Let's study the Word of God like we never have before. And I believe with certainty, my friends, that the sanctuary is a beginning point to see the work of God in our lives. Two important pillars of the Adventist faith, the Sabbath and the sanctuary. I think many of us have forgotten where we've truly come from and who we really are. What the purpose is that God gave these special messages. You see, friends, it's like this. There's a world out there running and hitting themselves in the head all the time, running into brick walls, looking for hope, looking for truth. How many times have you been asked by people, what does this mean? What does that say? And, you know, how many times have people been told, don't open the book of Revelation. You can't understand it. You won't know it. And how many times have people been told that all it matters is you just got to have Christ and you just accept Jesus and that's the way it is. I believe that, but there's more. You know, how many times have you heard people, friends, God has privileged a group of people to have certain truths for the last days. The book of Revelation is established on worship. Who are you going to worship? If there is a false church identified in the book of Revelation, there is also a true church that is identified in the Scriptures. And those two are at war. Those that what? Love Jesus and keep the commandments. And those that worship the beast. Friends, there's some pillars that God has given the church to stand on. The reason they're called pillars is it holds up, it strengthens. It holds the pieces together. What happened when Samson was brought out? He said, he told the young lad, do what? Put my hand on either pillar and do what? And he pushed the pillars. Two pillars came down. And those people died in their sins. Two pillars. The church has two pillars they're standing upon today. And friends, if we lose those pillars, the church will die. Let's erect those pillars again. Let's establish them. Let's get on with the message of hope that we have for the world so that Jesus can come again. What do you say? I want to go home. I'm tired of having potlucks each week. I want to have a potluck in heaven. What do you say? I want to sit around the table of Jesus and hear Him, see Him break the bread and tell us to eat and to drink. Right? No more synthetic food anymore. It's the real stuff. The grape juice and the bread. To hear Jesus pray over our supper. To hear Jesus face to face. To see Mike with more hair. I know he doesn't mind. Friends, I want to get off planet Earth. I don't know about you. And friends, it's up to us. I really believe God says in His Word, what does He say? That no man should perish. Could it be that God is hesitating, waiting for the church of God in this world to get the truths out so that He can come again? Do you think He may be hesitating, hoping with anticipation that His church will get it together? How many more potlucks do you want to have together? What's that? All of them? You follow what I'm saying? I'm tired of doing the same thing every week. I want to go home. Don't get me wrong, I love preaching and I'll come back next week too. But I just want to say, friends, it's getting old. And I want to go home. People dying with sickness and disease and suffering, I want to go home. I'm tired. Get to heaven, I won't have any more blemishes on my body, you know. I have a perfect beard, you know. It's not all vanity, that's all vanity. But, you know, I'm just trying to say, heaven is our home, right? What are we hanging around here for? Friends, let's study the Word of God. Let's erect those pillars up again. Let's get our church founded on something. Let's do something. Let's get the Word out. We want to know what God's up to? Let's study the sanctuary. I believe in the sanctuary we see the hand of God working. Jesus is intently working with the fallen race to bring them home. come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may find help in time of need. Jesus is there waiting for you to come to Him. He will never impose. He will never throw open the doors. He will never force Himself. He only stands and says, come, come to me. Do you want to come to Jesus? Come to Jesus just as you are. And let us pray with the church as a church family. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us faith. Change our hearts and make us more like you. Establish the church today on the pillars that you've given them, the gift of truth, so that you can come again.
Father in heaven, it's once again a great privilege to stand before your people and to share the word of God. I pray today that this word, this message, Lord, will have brought hope, that would drive each of us to study the Bible more intensely, and especially in the time in which we live. I pray that in this hour, Lord, that as we look up into heaven, that you will open our eyes to see, that we may see and peer into the sanctuary, that we may see what you are doing, what you're doing on our behalf, that we may realize that you are personally involved with each of us. Help us today, Lord, to re-erect these pillars that are truths for these last days. Help us, Father, to live by them and to stand on these principles. Father, we also know that you and Jesus are coming soon. Help us to be ready for that great and wonderful day. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for becoming the sacrifice for each of us, that we may live and reign with you throughout eternity. Bless each person in this congregation today. May they go home with the hope that you truly are coming again. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen.